If they have true motivation for selling their property, we want to figure out what that is and make sure that they're truly selling. And then typically that's all we need to know if it's hot or warm. They could be asking $300,000 over what their market value is. And as long as they have that motivation, eventually they're going to come to terms with the fact that their price is unrealistic.
Welcome back to the Investor Podcast. I am your host, Andrea Sagdelli. In today's episode, we have Tasha DeRegis. We're going to break down direct marketing. Yes, we are talking about cold calling and text message. Those are the top two strategies that Tasha has found that she's able to close more deals. So if you're having a deal flow issue, this episode is for you. So Tasha, today we're talking about deal flow, and I don't hear any complaint when the market is wonderful and people are having no deal flow issues. That's not the case right now. We are in August 2024, and 2024 itself hasn't been a year that we're like, wow, I have so many deals coming my way that are making financial sense. So share with us, what are you currently doing right now in this current market to control deal flow to grow your business?
In this current market, to control the deal flow in my business, I'm utilizing off-market direct-to-seller marketing. So all of my deals come from my off-market pipeline, and we do texting and cold calling, and I have a team of people who are doing that for me.
So let's break that down, right? Let's say I am an investor and I have done 5+ deals, currently looking to grow my portfolio. So you mentioned texting, you mentioned direct marketing. Are you referring to postcards or letters or what specifically you're?
Yeah, so we just do cold calling and texting. We are pulling lists. Our best lists that work for us is code violations and absentee owners. And we just reach out to those people via text and call, see if they're interested in selling their home. And if they are, then we put them into our CRM.
Got it. So let's break down that process, right? Because a lot of people are like, I want deal flow, but I don't understand the process. So if I am that investor that is looking to have more deal flow coming my way, but I'm willing to do some work or have a VA doing that work, what's the first step in order to first determine what type of list will be more efficient to me? And where do I go to get that?
Sure. So I'm using PropStream still. It's a really, really great tool because they have all kinds of data and it's pretty accurate. You can also use your realtor's system. They usually have like a list that they can pull on their own. RealTrax is what my MLS is. So you can also pull from there, but the best one is PropStream.
Got it. So quick question about the realtor though. What type of list you're talking when you're utilizing a realtor?
Yeah. So on my MLS, we have a prospecting list that we can pull. And so I'll just go in there and I'll select like what kind of criteria I'm looking for. So whether it be a vacant property, absentee, never listed on the MLS, owned for at least 7 years. And the reason that we do owned for at least 7 years is people usually sell their homes at about the 10-year mark. So we try to catch them a little bit before that.
Got it. You are saying from the perspective of, I'm assuming you have your license and you are going there to the MLS yourself versus working with a realtor. Am I getting that correct?
Yeah. And I think that you could definitely still find an agent to work with if you don't have your license. So you just might want to offer them, you know, a little bit of money or tell them that they can start listing your flips on the back end.
Got it. So walk me through the process. I got that list. How do you currently filter those lists?
Sure. So we use I'll go off of two of our best lists. So our best list is absentee owners. So we'll do absentee owners, never listed on the MLS or expired, owned for at least 7 years. And then that's the only criteria we really use. If you're just starting out, you could hyper stack your list, which means you're going to do an absentee owner who has high equity, who is a senior because they might be looking to downsize, who's owned their home for at least 7 years, and has some liens on their property. So you can take like all of the distress points and you can stack them into one list. And that could be your first list to start with if you've never reached out to motivated sellers before.
So when you're talking about calling people, right, cold calling, some people rather walk on fire and with some broken glass rather than calling people. Tell me, how can we do this in a way that is empowering versus, oh my gosh, they're going to be upset at me and I'm going to be down the entire day. What are your strategies to have an effective cold calling process?
Yeah, no, if you're a person who hates cold calling, like I'm right there with you. I hate cold calling. I hate cold calling so much that when I first started out, I literally called 50 people and then hung up my hat and said, I'm not doing this anymore. So for people like that, I would recommend getting a VA. You can use onlinejobs.ph to find a perfectly qualified cold caller.
When hiring somebody, you mentioned people local or overseas. What have you found as the sweet spot when hiring those folks? What type of experience you're looking for? What type of script has worked best for you guys? I'm curious for you to share the tea.
Yeah, I really enjoy working with people based all over the country. I've worked with people based in the US, based in Costa Rica, people in Colombia, South America, and in the Philippines. The majority of the cold callers that I work with are based in the Philippines. And it's really easy to find people with great experience, who do a really great job in the Philippines on onlinejobs.ph. It's very affordable to hire people from that area, and they also have a ton of experience. So these are the same people that the big companies like AT&T or Comcast, or, you know, anytime you call in and a customer service rep sounds like they might not be from here, it's because people in that area have so much experience with telemarketing and they seem to do really well at it. So that's usually about where I would hire for cold calling, and you don't really have to do much training. So if you're just getting started and you need something affordable to get cold calling off of your plate because you really don't enjoy doing it, I would recommend going on onlinejobs.ph and finding someone there who already knows how to do it.
So let's break down terms of the numbers, right? When we're doing direct marketing, in order to control our deal flow, it's all about the numbers. So if you were to break down for us, let's say a list of this amount of people, then they call this amount of people, what are the ratios that we're talking about when it comes down to really closing a deal using this strategy?
Yeah. So like based on the KPIs, it takes about, for last year's KPIs, it took 51 leads from cold calling to get one deal and 38 leads from text messaging to get one deal.
Well, so what does it tell you about the strategies?
To me, these are the most affordable strategies and the most tried and true strategies that consistently work. I've tried things like I tried direct mail, probably not as long as I should have to know if it's going to work for me or not, but it didn't give results soon enough for me to continue investing in it. Same goes for online ads, pay-per-click, Facebook ads. Those I really broke even using because they're very high competition. Whereas cold calling and texting, like it just depends on where you're pulling your data from. So everybody may be pulling the same list from PropStream, but they may have a different data provider. So you might get in contact with someone who someone else couldn't.
So those two are the main strategies that you have found the most successful, which is the cold calling and the SMS texting.
Exactly, yes.
So for the cold calling, at what point in the process, all right, you pull the leads, you pass the leads to the VA makes the calls. At what point the VA turns back to you to close the deal, or they go all the way until get the contract under sign?
Yeah. So the structure of my off-market deal flow system is we have the cold caller and text blaster here. And then when they get a lead, they send it into the acquisitions manager. The acquisition manager then determines if this is a lead worth following up with. If they are, they will like nurture them. And if they're not, they'll throw them back into the cold dialer for a lead manager to continue to follow up with over the next couple of months.
Okay, and then what happens?
So the acquisition manager will nurture people until he closes a deal.
So Tasha, once they get the leads, right, the list, how do you determine if it is a hot, warm, or cold lead, and what are the next steps?
Yeah, so the main points to determine if it's a hot or warm lead is, are they actually selling their property? So some questions we'll ask to determine that, just to kind of get it out of them really quickly, is, had you considered selling your property before I gave you a call today? If they say yes, we'll say, how come you haven't sold it yet? That'll identify for us kind of how serious they are. If they have true motivation for selling their property, we want to figure out what that is and make sure that they're truly selling. And then typically that's all we need to know if it's hot or warm. They could be asking $300,000 over what their market value is. And as long as they have that motivation, eventually they're going to come to terms with the fact that their price is unrealistic.
That's the ultimate goal.
Yeah.
For them to come with that. Is the VA the person that will have those types of conversations, or what time does the VA pass the ball to you?
So the VA will pass the ball as soon as they just get all the information. So they just cover the four pillars: condition, motivation, timeline, and price. We tell them, as long as you have somebody who's truly selling their property, like they've given you a good reason for why they're selling, just send them over. Their price point could be too high. Their condition could be good. Their timeline could be 6 months down the road. But if they're truly selling their property now or in the near future, we want you to send them over.
And what have you found when you're having those conversations with the sellers, like the wake up call conversations, right? That they are quote unquote delusional.
Yeah.
Or they're still living a couple of years ago. They didn't do that way. They didn't wake up yet about the reality of their property condition or how the market is right now. How have you navigated that conversation efficiently?
Yeah. So I'm just really real with them. You know, I let them know, hey, I would love to give you $500,000 for your property, but unfortunately I can't pay over what the property is valued at. Your neighbor down the street just sold for $250,000. Their home is completely remodeled. They've got all the bells and whistles. They've got the stainless steel appliances, the granite countertops. With your home, I'm going to have to put in about $75,000 to get there. So I'm not going to be able to get close to that asking price, but would you be able to consider something a little bit more market value, or are you pretty solid? You're not going to sell unless you can get that. And then we can kind of see like how serious they are at that point, if they're kind of open to negotiating a little bit. But yeah, we just kind of try to show them proof like, hey, like this is the reality of the situation. This is what's happening on your street. This is what we need to do to get to that point for us to be able to sell it there. And we're also trying to make money on the back end, so we can't do it for free.
Absolutely. And at what point that lead becomes like a time sucker from you? And what time is time to put that lead into a archive or follow up? By the way, follow-ups are the key, right? Sometimes it's not on the first, second, or third time that you talk to somebody. But how do you gather if you should continue talking to that person, or if you should put in the follow-up column let that sit for a while?
Yeah, so we determine whether or not we should continue talking to a lead based on their motivation. So being able to pull motivation out of somebody is very, very important, and it's almost uncomfortable how far we have to dig for it, but it's super worth it because it gives you an idea of like, does this person really want to sell? If they do, and you know their condition's poor, you know that the price you're offering them is a fair price that honestly they would still probably get on market, if not a little bit less because they're paying commissions and whatever else. I would continue to follow up with that person.
In terms of like sentences, right? Because the women might not have the radar that you have. The listeners might not have the radar that you have right now. Are there like frequent sentences that unmotivated sellers say? They're like, well, not a motivated person. I need to follow up another time, but I would not continue putting more time and effort into this lead.
if a person says that they are price motivated, like I'm only going to sell if I get this price and that price is crazy, they're probably a waste of time. Or if they say, you know, my daughter or my daughter's friend or my sister-in-law or my uncle is a realtor, they're probably going to list their property. So it's a waste of time.
That's great to, you know, have those like alarm bells that goes on versus putting. And I think when you're talking about direct marketing, it's law of average versus I have one or two leads and I am putting all my effort and time into that lead. That's when the disappointment comes in, right? When you have one or two leads that you're pouring a lot of your time and your effort, that you become the motivated versus the seller becoming the motivated person. When you are looking at a high deal flow, there is an indifference here that plays when buying a property that it is super, super valuable. Because you are just focusing on the numbers, law of average. This is the process that we use, motivated, not motivated, what category this person is. I'm curious to understand, how do you manage the process? Do you use any software? What have you done in order to create a clean process in terms of systems?
Yeah, so we use a CRM. It's called Podio. And it's custom built for me. I have a seller leads app in my CRM. It has drip campaigns. It has the ability to send contracts. I have all my notes there. I can click on the seller's phone number and immediately it starts dialing it. I can text them from their own lead page. So that CRM has really dialed it in for me. Would I say that I would recommend Podio to everybody? Probably not, because it can get a little pricey to like have it custom built for you. But if you can put, you know, a little bit of money into a CRM, it's definitely helpful.
And now when it comes down to SMS, right? There's regulations and there's so many things. So everybody is receiving text messages right now. What strategy have you applied that is working very well to increase your deal flow?
Yeah. So SMS has worked very well for us. And you have to make sure that you're staying compliant with your state's guidelines around SMS. Most states, you can't text anyone who's on the do not call list or on the do not text list. But as long as you're abiding by those guidelines, text messaging is, I mean, the way of the future. Everyone text messages. So like you have people who don't answer their phones during the day, but they're going to see your text. So more likely than not, if you're texting a motivated seller, and they're actually interested in selling, they're going to see that and they're going to respond to you.
So tell me more about this strategy, right? How do you don't turn somebody off with your first text or first sequence of text messages? What have you done that has allowed you to close? You said every 38 leads, you close one deal?
That's right. So the strategy when initially texting someone is to be a little bit ambiguous, but also very informal. You just want it to sound natural. So we just say, "Hey, it's Tasha. Are you the owner of 123 Main Street?" Or, "Hey, do you own 123 Main Street? This is Tasha." So being that it's a little bit ambiguous and, you know, we are introducing ourselves and we're being a little bit informal, it doesn't sound robotic. People will often respond with curiosity because it's just human nature that if there's like a little curiosity gap, they want to know why you're texting them about it. So a lot of times people will be like, "Yeah, this is the owner. What's up? Like, what's going on?"
And the goal there is to get them on the phone?
Yeah. So we will ask people with the next message to them. We'll say, "Does texting or calling work better for you? I'm interested in purchasing this property if you're interested in selling it." They may say, "No, I'm never selling this property." Or they may say, "Yeah, I'm interested, but I can't talk right now. Can you just text me?" Or they'll be like, "Yeah, let's hop on a phone call." So it's really nice to give them both options right up front, because then they know this person is not a scammer. This person actually has a voice and they're actually going to talk to me.
Got it. And then from there, they become a lead inside your CRM, I'm assuming.
Right. So as long as they actually have motivation, we'll go ahead and convert them into a lead in the CRM. And then they become one of the 38 that it takes to close.
Oh, wonderful. Tasha, it's been great. Thanks so much for coming to our show. Where can the ladies listening can find more about yourself?
Yeah. If you want to learn more about real estate investing hacks, how to call motivated sellers, and even different real estate investing strategies, I have an Instagram called The Renovation Queen. And I actually post daily all kinds of free tips on real estate investing. So go ahead and follow along and feel free to reach out to me with any questions.
Awesome. All this information you guys can find on our show notes. Thank you so much, Dasha.
Thank you. Have a great day. It was nice to meet you.
Thank you. If you enjoyed this podcast and want to receive updates on our next interviews, go to our website, therealestateinvestor.com. There, you can subscribe to our show, become part of our investor community, and get updates on upcoming episodes.
If you like our show, please share with other women who would benefit. And don't forget to leave us a rating on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. And as always, we encourage you to take one action as a result of today's show and put it into motion so you can live both a financially free and balanced life. Thanks for spending time with us.
Ciao.